Uber didn't ever classify themselves as a taxi cab company because then they would have been subject to all of those regulations. I think that as an innovator and as an entrepreneur, your goal should always be to find those gray areas.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to the discussion of insurance innovation. Now, you know, I'm going to take a different approach to this podcast today. You know, I've been thinking a lot about all of the different industries that's been being innovated over time. You know, there's fintech and there's insurtech, as we talk about a lot on this podcast. But then there's also legal tech. You know, so I know that within legal tech, there are some implications to what we're doing in the insurance space, specifically around the Office of General Counsel in a lot of the insurance organizations. So I invited Jonathan Broder, the Chief Executive Officer of Vortex Legal, to talk to me about his thoughts around what's happening in the legal space in relation to insurance and, of course, my favorite topic, innovation. Hey, Jonathan, you know, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Abel. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so Jonathan, if you don't mind first, you know, just tell us about your background and then also how you came to found Vortex Legal.
Sure. So by background, I'm a lawyer and I practiced securities litigation for a couple of years before realizing that I didn't want to spend my life doing that. And so I got out of that area and ended up as a legal recruiter for several years and then started my own firm in 2010. Just doing very traditional headhunting and recruiting for lawyers and legal secretaries and paralegals. And as I started doing my own firm and doing my own thing, I kind of said, hey, I think there's a need for attorneys to attend hearings for other lawyers and law firms. This was 2010. Florida was still very much in the middle of the foreclosure crisis. And lo and behold, I had some good timing, I guess, in that the law firms down here in Florida really needed statewide representation for all these hearings. And so we were at the right place at the right time. And then we expanded with a lot of these clients back to their home states. And so we started in Florida and now, you know, we're in 30 states now doing this. And it started really, again, with the foreclosure, but it's evolved into insurance carriers doing a lot of work with them, both their staff counsel and their panel firms. And so that's kind of how we evolved and grew, and it's been a fun journey.
You know, so Jonathan, just hearing about what you all are doing, and I know you mentioned the insurance industry, but do you mind digging a little bit deeper into how your service is, you know, relevant and useful for the insurance industry?
So this is our services are extremely relevant for the insurance industry. Everyone is very concerned about loss ratios. How can we save money? How can we do better? And besides your actual indemnity costs, you know, the expenses that relate to legal services are probably right up there as, you know, your highest other expenses. So what can you do to reduce the legal spend is a really important question. And, you know, a lot of folks in, you know, these roles say, oh, well, let's reduce the hourly rate a little bit, or let's do alternative fee agreements. You know, so those things have been around for a long time. What they haven't done is really looked at their billing codes and their invoices and said, this category of legal services is so routine, it's voluminous. You know, do we really need to be paying hourly plus travel for this? And so at the end of the day, it really comes down to an easy and a great way to save the insurance companies, you know, lots of money. And we're not talking about a couple hundred thousand dollars. We're talking about potentially millions of dollars when you look across, you know, your portfolio of cases. So it has an immediate and big impact on the bottom line.
You know, so Jonathan, as I think about that, I mean, I think about how you all are engaging with the different areas of the insurance value chain. You know, I'm wondering if you guys have had any challenges engaging with the insurance industry with this service and product that you provide.
Yeah, you know, insurance is not necessarily always the most progressive, and frankly, neither are lawyers. And we kind of fall in between that insurance technology and legal technology area. Some of the carriers have been extremely receptive. One of our first big clients is a top 10, P&C carrier. When I first met with them, they were like, we were looking for a solution like this. So it was very quick. Others, it's kind of a educational process because they know what they spend on court reporters. They know what they spend on private investigators, but nobody really knows, what are they spending? And frankly, I should say some do actually know what they're spending on travel, but a lot of them don't. And so, we've got to change the conversation a little bit and open up their eyes and say, these types of hearings, A, you don't need to be paying, big dollars for. B, you don't need to be paying, travel reimbursement for. And so it's an educational process. The other big challenge is that we're kind of a threat to the traditional billable hour model of all these law firms. And so, folks that are managing these outside law firms, frankly, are sometimes a little reluctant to really say, hey, guys, we're going to take away all this billing and use this service because it's better for us. And you would think that they would immediately say, hey, it's better for us. That's what we need to do. And it really becomes a question of who's going to lead the change. And I'm sure that that's a question that you hear often on your podcast and in other conversations is who's leading the change, and is it going to be the carriers? Is it going to be the clients or is it going to be the law firms? And, nobody willingly gives up revenue. Nobody willingly changes. So it's really got to be driven, from the top down. And so I would say that that's one of our biggest challenges is, as we have, grown into this space.
And as I look I across the industry, I think you're absolutely right in terms of asking the question, who is going to lead the change? Now, what I've seen, thus far, at least in the insurance industry, is that when there is something that's driving change, and even if it's positive for that industry, it may wind up displacing either employees or processes that were once sort of the either individuals or the processes that helped to get the insurance companies where they are today, so to the point that you're making in terms of who's leading that change, you may not find the carrier doing it. It may wind up being the customer or yourself as a part of the service to help to really inform that carrier or help that carrier really understand the value of what your service is. I'm thinking about what I learned in terms of what you all have done, and my understanding is that you all started off as an organization called MyMotion Calendar, and then you took a couple of different elements, and then you pivoted into the service that we know today as Vortex Legal. Now, on this podcast, we love to talk and delve deep about and into the concepts of innovation, and one of those things are pivoting. And what a lot of companies do when they pivot is, they find that something isn't working originally as intended. So they tweak and then, move in another direction. So Jonathan, from your perspective, can you tell us about, why you decided to pivot in that direction, or if there's any other areas, within your organization that you decided that you wanted to, take another direction instead of what you originally set out to do?
Yeah, so I have the entrepreneur's curse of having another great new idea all the time. And so I truly have pivoted many times before in other directions from what are my core businesses. But I will tell you that MyMotion Calendar, now being Vortex Legal, is actually not a pivot. I would call that a rebranding. We are providing the exact same service that we were under both companies. We just wanted a newer name that kind of was more mature, if you will, and ready to work with, large enterprise companies. And we just didn't feel that the name MyMotion Calendar reflected that And so we changed it to Vortex Legal. We also changed it to Vortex Legal. I love the concept of a vortex, right? All things legal revolve around a vortex or the vortex. And that's kind of why I adopted it, because I see us going forward in not only providing our services, you know, for attorneys that attend hearings, but really being able to apply our IT platform to other services, kind of like a go direct model. Should sound a little bit like, you know, Uber. You don't call the taxi cab company anymore. You go on direct and you get somebody locally to attend or to pick you up. That's really what we're doing here. That's really what our software does. And so we see ourselves being able to go into other areas in time, like private investigators and court reporters, and being able to really disrupt the entire legal services industry by providing a platform that allows everybody in claims and in claims legal to find the resources they need at one stop, instead of going to multiple people's websites and having to go through vendor management with, you know, thousands of different vendors. The goal is really to have everything in one spot. So that could be considered a pivot as well, but I like to think of it as expanding our verticals into other things, because at the core of what we do is the hearing attendance, and that continues to work. So, but pivoting is an interesting concept and idea, and there's a lot of different definitions. To me, we've really grown and just expanded and rebranded. And so that's kind of where we're at today.
You know, Jonathan, I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when you're talking about rebranding in order to be able to align your product and service with, you know, what a lot of the larger carriers are hoping to see from a service like yours. You know, so, as you know, Jonathan, this podcast is really about thought leadership and innovation. One of the other guests on the podcast, Paul Carroll, who's the CEO of Insurance Thought Leadership, you know, he talks about in his books, you know, that, you know, when innovation, when people are thinking about innovation, what they should do is ignore the financial limitations. Now, you know, I believe that that's part of, you know, not enabling or persisting limiting thinking. You know, so thinking about what you all do at Vortex Legal, how do you innovate within your organization?
So I think that that's a really good question, because I won't claim that I came up with this. There's a lot of literature out there as to where do ideas originate from. And there's, you know, the idea that it's an aha moment, that the light bulb just goes on. And then there's the other theories that, you know, it's an idea that, you know, really evolves and gets inputs from conversations and input from others. And, you know, it's something that matures. And frankly, I've had kind of both experiences. When I first came up with the idea of providing attorneys to attend hearings, for the other lawyers and law firms, that kind of was an aha moment. I was in bed at 2:30 or 3 o'clock at night, and I couldn't sleep. And I was trying to, you know, wrestle with the idea of where my business was going. And I was looking for a recurring revenue model. And so that kind of was an aha moment. I would say that as the company has evolved and we are going more towards a platform of providing all legal services in one location, that's definitely been more of an evolution with a lot of input from other people and, you know, technological things that we've started to do. So it's been a little bit of both. And in terms of, you know, limitations, it's an interesting question. I think that, you know, you have financial limitations, but I think you also have a lot of regulatory issues. And what I have found myself in is often in a gray area, right? There's a bright line where you know that it's absolutely illegal, right? Well, I'm never in that zone. But with regulations, you say, okay, well, what is permissible and what's not permissible? And, you know, kind of straddling that line is really where you find a lot of innovation. You know, Uber didn't ever classify themselves as a taxi cab company, because then they would have been subject to all of those regulations. You know, they said we're a platform and an IT platform and disrupting all of that. And I find that, you know, we're very much in that same boat with everything that we're doing. And so, you know, I think that as an innovator and as an entrepreneur, your goal should always be to find those gray areas, learn about as much of that area as you can, make sure that you navigate it, you know, properly and to the best of your ability, but knowing that there's going to be traditionalists that are going to say, hey, you can't do that. And I'll tell you a very quick story. It's probably one of my favorite experiences. We were talking with a venture capital firm, and on the call, was a gentleman who was a lawyer. And he said, he kept on telling me why what we do with hearing attendants was not allowed, that the bar rules didn't allow it, that it posed this problem and that problem. And he really was adamant. And I kind of stopped him because I realized I was never going to win the conversation. I was never going to win the argument. And I said, you know, with all due respect, you know, let's agree to disagree. But for everyone else on the call, there was about eight others, I said, I want you to listen to what just happened, because that right there was the sound of disruption. What does disruption sound like? It sounds like a traditionalist saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, it's not how it's done. And that's when you know that you have found something that's disruptive. And that was an amazing moment. It was a great, truly one of my favorite moments that I've had as an entrepreneur so far.
So Jonathan, you know, as I think about that story that you just told, you know, I think a lot of people listening to you speak could probably, you know, relate directly to what you're saying, whether it's a new idea or even whether it's something that, you know, someone is thinking about introducing a new way of doing things where, you know, you often tend to get the folks that have been doing this for a very long time telling you that, you know, it's not a good idea or it's not going to work. And I think to the point that you made, you know, that is absolutely the definition of disruption. You know, knowing that, you know, you're doing something that's going to change the way things are being done, whether it's making it more effective or efficient, but it's just changing the way things are being done and it's adding a different level of value. You know, so as I think about what you're doing, you know, you bring a completely different perspective to the table because, you know, what your organization is doing is reflective of the legal area of the insurance value chain in terms of enhancing that value chain. So, you know, what I'd like to ask you is, if you don't mind, just, you know, talk to me about where you see from your perspective the future of the insurance industry going.
You know, before I answer that, Abel, I want to go back to kind of what you were just saying, because going, it's all about how do we disrupt, right? I just want to go back to the disruption conversation. The question, one of the questions I've been thinking about a lot is, how do you go about disrupting an industry, whether it's law or insurance or anything else? Do you go about it and do it politely, right? Or do you go about it and do you do it boldly, where you know you're going to upset and ruffle people's feathers? And, you know, I don't have the answer. I mean, there's plenty of examples out there of folks that have done it very boldly, successfully, and there's people that have done it very boldly and failed miserably at it. You know, and I think that's actually what's really important about what you're doing, is that you're giving an avenue for people that are looking to innovate and disrupt to have a very polite and professional conversation. And I think that that's really, you know, great that you're doing that. And, you know, obviously, you know, I give you a lot of kudos for doing that. So I just wanted to add that in, that I think that that's a really important thing to discuss and to figure out, is do you disrupt politely or do you disrupt boldly? And, you know, what are the risks and cons of going about each route? Anyway, I think that the platforms have a lot of potential to disrupt. It'll be truly interesting and it'll take some time.
Yeah, you know, so I just want to step back to the concept that you laid out in terms of, you know, how to disrupt, whether or not you're going to do it politely or whether or not you're going to disrupt boldly. And I honestly think that it depends on, you know, what you're trying to disrupt and who you're trying to convince as to the direction that you're going to take. But, you know, I actually think that when you go in boldly and unapologetic in terms of what you're doing, then that creates a whole different dynamic that sort of enables the disruption to go a little bit more quickly, and then potentially have others, you know, completely buy into what you're doing, you know, and I think that really is an important part of, you know, that buy-in piece, an important part of really, you know, being able to innovate and innovate well, you know. So for you and for your organization, you know, are you finding it difficult to innovate? And then what are some of the challenges that you face in your organization on, you know, creating that different way of doing things and, you know, just change?
You know, change is just tough for everyone. It's uncomfortable. It just really depends on who you're talking to and who you get on the phone and what their understanding of the world is. There's a lot of organizations that, two in particular, that again, kind of are geared towards legal, but insurance companies are such legal organizations. I mean, PNC carriers spend over $20 billion a year on legal fees. So there's so much overlap. You know, you've got the CLOC, which is Chief Legal Officer Consortium, I believe is what it's called. And then you've got the Buying Legal Coalition, Buying Legal Guide. And so these two organizations are really starting to have a great impact, I think, on different leaders, both in insurance companies and outside of insurance companies and in law firms. And the ideas that are coming are really from, you know, the business world, metrics, KPIs, procurement. What are the ways that we, you know, approach the delivery of legal services in any organization, you know, from a business perspective, as opposed to, you know, I went to law school with that guy and I really like him and I want him to continue to get business from us. So those are some of the things that are advancing in this space that I think are really having an impact on it. And, you know, we're kind of walking that walking right there with them, you know, creating this opportunity to really have a lot more efficiency and productivity and really examine some of the underlying assumptions about how legal services are delivered and challenging those. And that's an exciting process.
Yeah, you know, so I absolutely agree with that. And I do want to, you know, also just talk about something else that you mentioned a little bit earlier. And that was, you know, sort of the people. Where, you know, people who are so steeped in the way things were always done, as you mentioned earlier, you know, in an organization that's trying to change, you know, that really poses, you know, one of the biggest roadblocks for organizations and, you know, when they're trying to change and trying to grow. You know, just from your perspective, you know, what does this mindset, or not even what, why does this mindset pose as a challenge for companies hoping to move further and into the future in terms of what they're trying to do?
Oh, it's super dangerous. I mean, if you don't advance and find the innovative ways to improve the way that you're delivering the services and to do it more efficiently, whether it's reaching your audience, whether it's, you know, efficiencies in underwriting or, you know, making the claims process so much better, there's going to be competitors out there that are going to, you know, do it. You know, that's just in law, for example, there's law firms that are going to get on board and embrace these ideas, and they're going to, you know, be the champions of it. There's going to be others that are never going to get on the bandwagon. They're going to be traditionalists until the day they retire. And that's just the way it's going to be. But it's all about finding like-minded individuals that you want to work with that get what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I guess that's why we go to so many of these conferences, because, you know, more likely than not, if they're at the conferences I'm at, they're going to be like-minded. And, you know, we always find that we need a champion internally to really say, hey, this is really makes sense, you know, and walk us through and help us identify the right people in these organizations, because they're large, mammoth organizations. And so they have their own challenges once it's being taken internally. But I'm telling you, what we've really done is said, look at your data. Use your own data. If it's data-driven, it's really hard to argue that. And when you get the different parties involved at the table, procurement and the CFO and other people that have a say in all of these stakeholders, you know, it's hard to just ignore data.
So you mentioned the competition. And, you know, Vortex Legal is known in the industry as the Expedia of legal services. You know, so what I start to recognize is, you know, as companies are beginning to be aligned with, let's say, other types of companies that are doing something similar, let's say even in a different industry, they start to become, you know, targets of competitors that are really trying to either take market share away or, you know, just to align what they're doing you know, take the concepts of companies like yours. So, you know, how are you all working to keep the competition at bay?
Yeah, it's a real problem if you buy into all of those theories, right? If you believe that you have to be the first to market and you have to, you know, there's only so much oxygen in the room and you've got to capture it all. And that's Silicon Valley. You know, they are unbelievably willing to throw just massive amounts of money in the hopes that, you know, they can capture that. people forget that Facebook wasn't really going anywhere for until 10 years. You know, it took a long time. And obviously there's been tons of Facebook, you know, wannabes come and go before Facebook and after. So the biggest competition that we have is, you know, established players that want to innovate, you know. But again, that's the biggest challenge that they have is that they're established. And it challenges their business model. If we can come in at 10 to 15% less on all of these services by going direct, you know, they have a hard time changing their business model proactively to compete with that. So it's kind of like Blockbuster and Netflix, right? Blockbuster was there. They were the player. They were the only game in town forever. And at one point, Netflix went to Blockbuster and said, hey, you know, buy us out. I think it was like $50 million or something, you know, and they laughed. Well, we know who's around today and who's not. So, you know, there's always going to be competition. And so, you know, I don't believe that you have to be the first player there. I don't believe that you have to be the biggest player there. I think you have to have the right relationships, the right technology, and the right, you know, approach. And that's who's going to win. So, but it is fascinating. And sometimes I, you know, I worry, but I just kind of keep my head and stay focused on really what we're trying to accomplish. So.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? So you talk about the right relationship, provide the right technology. And I would add to that list and say you have to provide the right level of value as well. You know,
absolutely.
Because
it doesn't go anywhere without that.
Absolutely. You know, just yeah. Because, you know, a lot of these organizations, as they're introducing something new, they're looking to see how that's really going to assist and impact their organization. You know, and I look at that, you know, not only from concepts, but also, you know, as people, you know, as we're doing different things and as we're, you know, sitting at our desks and, you know, doing our work, you know, how we continue to provide the value to the organizations that we work with or work for, you know, so, a question that I love to ask, you know, folks like yourself, you know, as we're talking about innovation just in general is, you know, if I was, you know, someone at my desk looking for a different way to do things that's going to help me add that value to my organization or in a company that I started, you know, what can I do to think differently and to add that additional level of value back to my organization?
Yeah, that's a huge challenge, right? Because we're so engrossed with what we're doing day to day. And chances are a lot of folks that have that vision, sometimes they, you know, have had bad experiences trying to voice that vision within the organization. And that's, I think, changing. I think more companies and more organizations are creating outlets and incentives for the sharing and encouraging their staff to bring that up. So I think that's a really good thing. And I think that, you know, if your company doesn't have that, you know, I guess your first step is to suggest that they figure out a way to do that, right? The good old suggestion box. But yeah, it's tough. But, you know, the only thing I ever knew is you got to take time, step back away from the day to day and say, you know, what is the process that I'm doing and what is it that, you know, we can do better? Because at the end of the day, I think that almost everything is, it's about process and it's about applying some form of software and IT to improve that process to realize those gains. And so the more you think in process-driven ways, that's where you're going to find, you know, the opportunities. That's just been my experience.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. So, hey, Jonathan, what I do want to say is thank you for your time here today, you know, talking to me on this podcast. You know, if anyone wanted to learn more about your organization or wanted to get in contact with you, where can I send them?
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me. It's been a great conversation. Vortex Legal, www.vortexlegal.com, Jay Broder at vortexlegal.com. And again, thanks for the opportunity, Abel.
Jonathan, once again, thank you. I appreciate it. Looking forward to keeping up with what Vortex Legal is doing.
Thanks so much.
Hey, everybody. You know, once again, I want to say thank you for joining me here on the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. You know, there's a lot of great guests that I mentioned that are going to be coming to the show from FM Global, ClearSurance. You know, just all across the board. So don't forget to hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're using. And, you know, just tune in next week, same time, same place, to hear Todd Kazakowski from ClearSurance. See you then.